This morning's gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which can be found on page 785 of your pew Bible if you would like to read along. In the passage right before this one, it's one that we know very well because it's when Jesus was just baptized and the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove, marking him. And you hear the Holy Father speaking from heaven, proclaiming, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is marking Jesus for a life which will be very different than the life he has lived so far for his first 30 years here on this earth. To prepare him for this time, the Holy Spirit then brings him into the wilderness to fast, to ponder, to pray, to discern. And eventually, after the 40 days are complete, to be tempted by the devil. Let us hear of this story as we listen now for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord. It's a saying that I'm sure we all have heard many times in our lives. You better stand for something, or you will fall for anything. The idea behind this saying being that you need to know who you are, what you believe, and have a strong footing in those beliefs, or you will bend to every passing wind, fad, or belief that comes your way. You better know what the strong desires of your heart are, who you are, who you've been created to be, or you will follow any shepherd who comes along. You will follow any belief that comes your way, and you will be easily led astray. This is a belief that we all say we know. We better believe in something, or we will fall for anything. But how many of us truly know what we believe? How many of us truly know who we are? And how many of us have fallen for things way too many times that have not fallen in line with those things that we say we believe and are? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I don't want you to do anything that will be used to incriminate you. This is self-reflection time. On the day of Jesus' baptism, all who witnessed it were pretty amazed at what they had just experienced. And can you blame them? Jesus wasn't the first one to be baptized that day. There had been multiple baptisms. People had been coming from all over the place to be baptized by this man named John. John had been doing wonderful baptisms in the name of repentance. It was a cleansing of your sins. It was something different than what baptism means today, but it was still something powerful and exciting and holy. So people had come and were experiencing this powerful moment. But something completely different happened when Jesus came to this place to experience this moment. When people saw Jesus baptized, the heavens ripped open. Something that appeared to be a dove but wasn't came down and rested on him. And a voice that boomed down from the heavens said, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You can't pay for that kind of publicity. This was theatrics at its best. This would be the great way to leave that moment and go right into ministry and be like, everyone's going to follow this guy, right? And yet, it wasn't time. This beautiful baptism moment is the moment when Jesus is beginning to understand what life is going to mean now. But it's only the beginning. It needs to sink in. And so the very Holy Spirit that has just come upon Jesus is going to lead Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights. And in that time, Jesus will need to get comfortable in this new role, comfortable in his skin in this role, and learn what this would mean to be carrying the Holy Spirit in the world in this way as he had never publicly done before. He will need to learn what it means to be God incarnate in a world that knows this now. He's always been God incarnate, but not in a public way before. There's no hiding it anymore. People saw. People know. It's out there now. So what will this mean? And so he's in this wilderness time, and he will fast, he will discern, and he will explore. He will take this wilderness time to explore what it will mean for him to be the Savior. Fasting. Now, fasting is not a spiritual practice that I typically lean towards. Anyone who's been around me for 5 hours after I've not eaten know that this is not something that would be a spiritual discipline that I would lean towards. But there's power in fasting. The idea behind fasting is that it removes the distractions that keep us from focusing on the matters at hand. So in this wilderness time, Jesus is there to focus on what life is going to be, who he is now, what this will mean for the world and for himself, what life will mean moving forward. Stripping down distractions, stripping down the ways of the world, stripping down everything. But a life of communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus will need in this time of the wilderness to prepare himself for life in public ministry. And this is what happens in this time of 40 days. and 40 nights. And so this time begins to come to an end. And once that was all settled in and he was ready for whatever will come his way, that's when the devil enters in. That's when you hear that dun, dun, dun. In verse 3, the tempter came and said to him, if, we hear the self-doubt. We all have that too, right? The if you are who you say you are. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. All right, if you've just been fasting for 40 days, I'd want to maybe command them to become chocolate cake. I don't know. But the temptation to use your power that has been entrusted to you to make something into food would be a pretty strong temptation. And we know that Jesus has the ability to take physical matter and change it into something else or change it into something more, because he will use this power that has been entrusted to him as God incarnate to later on multiply the bread and the fish to more than enough to feed the 5,000. He will use this power later on to be able to calm the storms, to show power over the physical world. But the difference is, in those times, it was used to bring about God's purposes. It was used to help the greater good. In this moment, the manipulation of the physical matter would be used to simply help himself and would be done under the direction of the great tempter. That's not God's purposes. That's not God's plan. And so Jesus falling on the gift of these 40 days of coming to know himself and know the plan falls on the scriptures and says, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's living what he will preach. He's living what he will tell others to live, even though that bread would be mighty tempting right now. Because he wants to show that the misuse of this power would not be bringing glory to God. So the devil is not easily thwarted, and so he brings about the second temptation, which comes in verse 5, and the devil says, as he brings him to the pinnacle of the temple, he says, if, there's that self-doubt again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear him up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Do you see what he did there? He used the words of scripture. Now, granted, he used them out of context, but we never do that, right? We never use the words of scripture out of context to try to make our points valid. That's not something we human beings do. We never try to make God say what we want him to say. And here, the devil is taking two parts of scripture completely out of context and mushing them together to try to make Jesus second guess who he is and what he's called to do. And he brings him to the temple and he puts him up on a top part and he's saying to him, use your powers as God incarnate to bring about a religious revolution, a religious revolution. But Jesus has not spent these 40 days in vain. Jesus again responds from Scripture and says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Because Jesus knows where his identity is to be found. So the devil still does not skip a beat. And so he comes a third time, very Trinitarian of him. And he takes him to a high mountain. A mountain so high that apparently can see the whole world and all its kingdoms. And he says to Jesus, "All these I will give to you," as if he has the power to do so. "I will give them to you if you fall down and worship me." This is the temptation of political power. This is the temptation of world domination, no matter what it takes, because the ends justify the means, right? And Jesus could use this power to do good things, right? If Jesus had world domination, wars would end and poverty would cease and all the things would fall into line. But at what cost? Because the ends don't justify the means. The ends never justify the means. And so Jesus responds, seeing what Satan is doing, by saying, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" And Jesus is able to say all these things because he has spent the last 40 days being centered in discovering who he is and what it means to be in communion with the Father and the Spirit. And with that, the devil left and the angels appeared to wait on Jesus. Friends, we are in the season of Lent. Lent is supposed to reflect this period in Jesus' life. Lent is supposed to reflect the wilderness. We tend to boil this season down to the last moments of temptation, but the majority of those 40 days have a lot more to do with the idea of Jesus coming to terms with who he is and figuring out who he is and what he is to stand for. So he knows how to stand firm no matter what comes his way. It was a journey of finding himself in communion with the Father and the Spirit and how that would work moving forward in his life and ministry. So what if, in this season of Lent, it becomes a journey of self-discovery for you as well? What if you take your lead from Jesus and take these 40 days to explore what the world means through the context of your relationship with God? By taking these 40 days to be intentional. To be intentional in exploring who you are in God. Through prayer. Through retreat. Through fasting. Through Sabbath keeping. Through meditation. Through Bible reading. And carving out space to simply be in the presence of the one who has loved you into being time and time again. What would be different? How could God be glorified? How could this Lent be different besides changing the chocolate sales in our community? Because friends, we have to stand for something or we will fall for anything. We have to stand for something or we will fall for anything. And what better way to find out what we stand for than our exploring our lives in the presence of the one who created us? Because it is our heart's desire to be in the arms of the one who created us. So what better way to find out what our heart's desire truly is than exploring it with our Creator? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen.